Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, 8 seasons in the NFL, former Oregon Duck. Can catch him on SiriusXM. Should be following on Twitter. He's a great follow. He's joining us now. Where are you right now, Schwartz?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I live, obviously. It's interesting covering the conference all the way across the country. And yeah, man, just... I'm excited for NFL's back in 2 weeks, and looking forward to watching some football this weekend. We have Central Arkansas against Austin Peay, ESPN, 9 p.m. Eastern. I mean, come on.
Who you rooting for in that game? Who you got, Schwartz?
I saw a someone that I trust who bet Austin Peay plus 3.5, so I have also bet on Austin Peay plus 3.5. That's who I'm rooting for, Austin Peay to cover the game.
So there it is. You heard it here. Big Ten Conference talking about maybe trying to trot out a plan that would get them started in November. Sounds like they're just trying to avoid some litigation, but, you know, the Pac-12 could follow that. I kind of like the idea of, like, going, all right, we could start in November if the following happens and come up with some criteria. Do you see a problem with that?
I do not. Look, the Big Ten situation is very interesting. Obviously, it's so much different than the Pac-12, right? They weren't transparent to start. There's Freedom of Information Act request. There's parents upset. So it's a much different situation than the Pac-12, in my opinion. But if you look at the criteria the Pac-12 laid out for why they decided to postpone the season for now, a lot of those are being fixed at the moment, right? California, Arizona, numbers are going down, right? They're getting better. You know, we know that testing has been improved. And I don't know, look, I don't know if the saliva testing and the new Abbott test are out and readily available at this moment, but they could be in a month or 6 weeks. That obviously would help getting started by Thanksgiving. And so I definitely think that the criteria that they've said to have to be met, at least some of it, would be met by then. And yes, they can, in my opinion, start. I was always a fan, John, of just the delay, right? I didn't think you had to right now go ahead and just be done with it. I mean, like, delay, give yourself a little bit of time and opportunity to see if things improve. So yeah, I mean, yes, they could definitely decide to go back and start the season maybe mid-November, and then, you know, at November, if things continue to improve. And we know that they followed the Big Ten the first time. The Big Ten comes back and plays, the Pac-12 would be odd if they're the only Power 5 conference not playing.
Yeah, and I look at that, and I kind of wonder what the impact of that will be. And I think that's something you could maybe see better from Charlotte, North Carolina. What is the perception of the Pac-12 if the other four end up playing and the Pac-12 plays by itself in January, February, March?
Well, the same as it is now, that no one cares. I mean, look, the thing is, and you see this on social media, I do as well. You know, it's all about the Pac-12, right? Like, it's all about the Big Ten, and I get it. There's more uproar by the Big 12 parents and by the players, and again, attorneys suing the Big 12, the Big Ten, I should say. But the Pac-12 was like an afterthought, right? I mean, there was talk, I saw the other day, of college basketball starting in mid-November or maybe late November, early December, and the Pac-12 wouldn't be part of that as they're currently constructed, right? January 1st, the first day, they would consider being back. So it just further goes to hurt the Pac-12, in my opinion, in those, you know, those major sports, and they're the only conference that's not playing, especially come, you know, November, December, when the Big Ten could possibly start. It would not be good for our conference to continue to be left out of the equation when it comes to something like that.
Jeff Schwartz with us. You can catch him on SiriusXM. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. 8 seasons in the NFL. From an NFL player standpoint, Schwartz, how weird will this season be? Or when, if football's played with no fans and we actually get to see games, will it suddenly start to settle down into just being football again?
I think it will. But, you know, the backdrop always is going to be COVID, right? I mean, if you have a situation where, you know, you have three, four, five guys on your team that get sick, you know, things obviously can change very, very quickly. So I don't think it's ever going to be normal. I think that, you know, the playing of the games and the game prep will feel as normal as you can get in this year. And this year has been obviously, you know, very odd, but that gets us to a little bit more normal, that the games are being played. But it's not going to be normal when you play an empty stadium or half-empty stadiums, or, you know, some stadiums will have 12,000 fans. It's not going to ever feel normal, in my opinion, the entire season. And, you know, there's always flu season looming up pretty soon. And so it's not going to ever feel normal this year.
What do you think of Brady to Tampa? And people seem split over whether or not that thing works big time or it's just a fun story.
I think it works because they have a lot of parts that are good there. Think about this. Their defense last year was fifth in DVOA. I like to use that metric for Football Outsiders. It measures efficiency. It's pretty standard, you know, to use them to judge efficiency now. Look at the offense. They have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Cameron Brake. They brought in Gronkowski, who's, you know, who's kind of like Tom Brady's blanket, right? The guy that he always knows he can count on. Their offensive line is really good inside. They added Tristan Wirfs at right tackle in the draft. And so it comes down to Brady. Is that, will Brady just do an adequate job, right? Will he be able to integrate in the offense and be able to just move the chains? And I think that in a normal offseason, I feel much better about Tampa early in the season, but I do worry how they start in a, you know, in a brand new offense with a very short offseason. Their schedule's not that bad early on. They go to New Orleans week one. That would be tough. But then it's like Chargers and Panthers and Bears, I think not till week six till they play like another playoff team. So that early start, that kind of fear might not be so bad because of schedule.
Jeff Schwartz with us, longtime NFL player, analyst. You do such a good job with the offensive line in particular because that's where your expertise is. I'm really disappointed we may not get to see Penei Sewell again in an Oregon Ducks uniform. What do you make of Penei Sewell?
He's so good. And he's so good with room to improve, which kind of makes it even scary, right? I mean, he's not a finished product quite yet, but the things that I like about him are not even on the field. If you talk to the coaches, and I've talked to Penei before. I have friends who talk to Penei, and it's his mindset, man. The guy wants to be the best. He wants to be the greatest. He asks questions. He cares. He improves his game. He listens to coaching. All things that you want in special players, he does. Now, obviously, on the field, you know, his ability to move, his power, the way he generates his punches. But I was looking forward to this year for a couple of reasons. One is that if you watched, take the Auburn, Utah, Wisconsin game. It's kind of the three most important last season for a tape evaluation. Obviously, different points of the year, right? Auburn was week one, and the later games were at the very end of the season. I think I counted like 11 or 12 pure drop back passes, right? 3rd and 7, we're going to put Herbert in the gun and we're going to take a true, you know, 3-step, 5-step drop and get the ball out. In the NFL, you're doing that 30 times a game almost. And I want to see in this new offense, I assume they're going to do that more, right? It's more of a down the field vertical threat offense. And so I was excited to see Penei do that more often. And he had a couple times this year where kind of the first or second rep of the game in that exact situation. It was a little tough. He just doesn't do it very often. And pass protection is the number one important thing to play left tackle. And so I wanted to see him just get more reps at it, to be more prepared to get in the NFL in those situations. And, you know, that part of that is a little knee bend in those situations. But, I mean, a 19-year-old to win the Outland Trophy as a true sophomore is incredible. I mean, he deserved all the respect he gets. He deserves all the attaboys he gets. He is that good with, again, some room to improve, which makes it really scary.
Schwartz, you know, I look at his, you know, if there's a spring season, I just don't see any reason for him to suit up. He's a top 5 pick. He'll get advice that says, hey, you're just risking injury. What does he miss by not having a year of competition?
I mean, just like I said, the year to improve and the year to continue to hone his craft. And the opportunity to just get more tape out there, play better opponents. I mean, look, Ohio State, I know Chase Young isn't there, but they just continue to have defensive ends that are really good. That would be a good opportunity for him to, you know, to play against pro guys. Hamilcar Rashid, who plays really on the other side, but maybe they move them over this year and he plays against Panay, you know, the Oregon State defensive end. And, you know, there's just opportunities for him to just get better and to improve. And he'll still be a top five pick next year. And I think spring football is a terrible idea. I hope they don't do it. I think it's really silly. But yeah, no one's going to play. I mean, all the Oregon guys are going to leave if they play spring football. And that's what I just miss most about, you know, about Panay not playing this year. I miss a lot of things, man. Like, Oregon's defense, this would have been the best defense they've ever had, by far. And they're going to lose a lot of those guys. And as far as they show, those guys should go pro. But, man, we had an opportunity to have a historic defense. We would have been the first time I can remember. I'm 34. You know, I got recruited when I was 17 to Oregon. So I've been, you know, half my life, I've been really an Oregon fan and insider and whatnot. And, I mean, there's never been a defense even close to the talent we have on this team. And never once was there ever talk that, like, the defense would lead us early in the season, right? Brand new quarterback, four offensive linemen. You know, the defense is what we're counting on to get us through the Ohio State game. Never would I thought that what Oregon is now. That credit Mario and Ann Wallace and the entire staff of getting those talent and bringing in those big dogs.
What does the average fan not understand about sort of the team dynamic in the NFL?
That the players care. I think people look at the money and just think that we don't care. That high paid guys, you know, once you get paid, you know, you don't care. And there are high profile cases of that happening. I mean, you know, Andre Haynesworth or Albert Haynesworth is one of them. That comes to mind. But most guys, in my opinion, I felt this way when I got paid by the Giants. Is I felt a lot of pressure to live up to my contract. Right, the Giants paid me a lot of money. I only played 13 of 32 games and I was hurt. I still regret, I don't regret like getting hurt and that kind of, you know, that sort of thing. But I regret not living up to my contract, right? And I feel like a lot of pros feel that way. They're professionals. Of course, the money is you earn that money, right, by your talent and the market value. But we all want to play. We all want to be good. We all want to, you know, live up to the hype and live up to the contract and help us win. So I feel like people look at the NFL and pro sports in general and think that we are, like, devoid of caring about winning and doing a good job because we get paid. I haven't found that to be true for the majority of NFL players in the locker room.
Jeff Schwartz with us. You know, in this pandemic, a lot of things have become evident. Soda sales are way down. I know there are a lot of restaurants trying to make it. What have you learned maybe in this time that, you know, maybe surprises you? I'm looking at, you know, soda sales in particular. And we might be healthier in that way as a nation that nobody's drinking a bunch of soda anymore.
What have I learned during COVID? I don't even know. Everyone else never worked at home before. I'm working at home for like 4 years now. I've been like, oh, you work at home. Here's what I learned. Here's what I understand. Okay. So, you know, for the last, you know, 20 years, whenever you wanted to call someone, you just got on a conference call, right? You just like got a conference call. Why do we have to still use Zoom now? Like, it's just a call. I don't want to see your face. Like, I'm not, I didn't set up to see your face. Like, just call me like usual. Why do I have to set up a Zoom call? I don't understand that. That's what I've learned is people love seeing each other's faces now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like we got to know that you're really there. Like, you know, I need to see Schwartz's face. Make sure. Let's see if Schwartz dressed today. If he's in his jammies still at noon, you know, we got to make sure he's working. I feel like there's a little bit of that going on.
There is. I think for me, look, I've been very fortunate during COVID. We've had someone to help with my kids, and we've had even school now. We have a pod at our house, so I've been fortunate. My wife is a nurse. She's not in the hospital, but she's worked almost the entire time. And so I feel very fortunate, you know, during this time. But I've liked spending time with my kids. I used to work at night, 6-9 Eastern for the Pac-12 radio, and now we're just going to one show a day. And every other day, so I'm not even hosting every day now. So I'm spending more time with my family. And so I feel fortunate I'm able to do that. I know not everyone's in the same situation. But that actually, I think about today because I was out, I came home, my son was home, you know, I saw his little face, and like it just made me happy. And so I feel like that's not the case for everyone, but I've learned that maybe I need to spend more time with family and not so much work. I don't know, man.
Schwartz, I really appreciate you making time for us. You always do. And I know you got a lot of fans out here, but for people who follow or want a good follow, and a guy who's going to break down what's really going on the offensive line, I learn something every time you tweet, man. So I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you. You can go catch my podcast, everyone. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you. iTunes, Spotify, football podcast. The goal, obviously, is to make you guys smarter football fans. So we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, we all need that. All right, Schwartz, I appreciate you, man, making time for us. Thank you.
Take care, bud. Have a good one.
All right, there it is, your favorite Schwartz on the show. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up. Kyle Bonagura, ESPN.com, will be coming up top of the hour. Ken Go of the Oregonian later in the show. We'll play Punch It Audio. Anna will join the show. Our weather is amazing right now. Can I say that? Do I sound like an old person? I spent a lot of time, because I'm in my 40s still. I spent a lot of time being fearful of being an old person. Because I know when you're like 20, no, let me go even back even further. When you're like 9 or 10, you can't even imagine being 20. Then you hit 20, and you're like, okay, 30 feels really old. Then 40 looks old from 30. And 50 looks old. And I know from my friends who are in their 60s and 70s and even 80s that, you know, the work you put in, 50 looks 40s and your 50s, really sets you up to be active, in shape. It, you know, it pays dividends, right? It's like anything. You reap what you sow. The time that you put in, the effort you put in and staying and getting in shape often pays off later in life. But people in their 70s and 80s out there playing pickleball outside Judah Newby's window in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's a good thing. I really do encourage people, despite what Judah said on yesterday's show, he's trying to tell older people that they need to sleep in. I do encourage people, especially pickleball players who live in the suburbs, to get out, get those games in. I do think you could play a 5:30 or a 6 a.m. game. I don't think that's out of the question. I don't know why you're waiting till 6:15 outside Judah Newby's window to get that game going. I think that, you know, the grunts are okay. I think that shows that you are passionate about the game. I think that getting the pickleball going, I think more people should play it. And Judah, if you want to give the address to the court, this is your chance.
You know, we were talking about changing our mind on today's show, John, and, you know, it's a great opportunity for you right here. Go ahead and change your mind on everything you just said the last 90 seconds. I'd appreciate
that.
It's funny, but not as much.
I had a friend once who bought a condominium in the Bay Area. He was so proud, got a great deal on it. He moved in and immediately understood that there was an issue. There was a neighbor that shared bedroom walls. Like, his bedroom wall was on one side, the neighbor's bedroom wall was on the other side. There was a neighbor who apparently had a real bad snoring issue.
Oh.
My friend tried to deal with it on his own with earplugs and other things. He said it was too loud. He said it was incredibly loud. He ended up having to invest thousands of dollars in insulating the wall. Got it insulated, pumped like the equivalent of concrete into the wall so that he couldn't hear this guy snoring. He spent like $15,000 reinforcing that wall, and then only to find out that the neighbor moved out. So, yeah, there you go. You're growing up, Judah Newby.
Right,
Kyle Bonagura is coming up. ESPN.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.